It's time to pray, America. It's time to pray for change.
We need to see a change. America, America, come back to the place where you were in your beginning days. We need to stand on the firm foundations that our fathers laid. We need to see a change. We're lost inside the dark. Light.
In 1966, the Holy Spirit spoke to Dale Gentry and said these words, "Give me the first hour of your day, and I'll change your life." He responded, and now over 40 years later, thousands across this nation and around the world pray daily with Dale.
It's coming now, it's coming now, revival's coming now. It's coming now, it's coming now, revival's coming now. Yes it is, and it's coming now, it's coming.
Your Hour of Power prayer leader, Dale Gentry.
Hey, thank you very much, Tom Dooley, and good Tuesday, everybody. Good to have you listening in on VPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station at this time, anytime, around the clock, around the globe, as we pray for revival in America, another spiritual awakening. And we know that there's many reasons why we need to pray today. So many things happening. We're going to get to some of those things that we're going to pray specifically about today. Trust you had a good Labor Day weekend off, a good Labor Day holiday, and you're all rested up. And going back, we know that January the 1st is the start of the new calendar year, but we also know that this Tuesday after Labor Day is really the start of the year for most working families, working people, kids getting back to school, things returning to somewhat normal, people experiencing, they're experiencing some type of anxiety because they have to go back to work, trying to get back in the groove. But anyhow, it's going to be a good day. We're going to talk about the will of God. So many people are wanting to know, what is the will of God for my life? And how can I know the will of God? It's probably the most asked question that I have received over the years. How can I know what God wants me to do? And so many people praying and saying, would you give me a prophetic word? Maybe the Lord will speak to you about what I'm to do in life. So it's going to be a good broadcast. Father, we pray right now in Jesus' name, the will of God be done here on BPN Radio on this Tuesday after Labor Day 2015. So many things happening in the news and so many, many things that we need to pray about. So we pray thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as we pray for national, international events, and we pray concerning our own lives, what you would have us to do. And Lord, I trust that I can answer some questions today, pray with some people that are seeking the will of God for their lives, they're seeking for answers, and I just know, Lord, that you're going to give me some wisdom, you're going to give me some revelation as I talk with people and pray with people here. This is a prayer broadcast. I've made a commitment that I will not talk about anything that we cannot pray about, or I will not have anybody on the broadcast that we cannot pray after they get finished talking. Tomorrow I'm going to have Michael W. Smith on, and Michael is playing a leading role in the movie 90 Minutes in Heaven, 90 Minutes in Heaven, and that will be opening 9/11 this Friday night in theaters all across America. We'll be talking to my longtime friend Michael W. Smith on the broadcast tomorrow about that. So the will of God be done. And speaking of Michael W. Smith, before we get started, we're going to play a song. He's going to be on tomorrow. We're going to play a song. And I like this song. It's called Run to You. We really need to run to the Lord. And he's going to sing, and I'll be back to pray.
Healing waves for just a heart running back home.
There you have Michael W. Smith, I'm Gonna Run to You. You know, there's so many, many decisions that we need to make in life, and we cannot make it on our own. So that's why I'm praying today for those of you that are seeking some answers, seeking some solutions in life. And we just have to run to you, praying, Lord, your will, plan, and purpose be done in our lives today, in Jesus' name. And speaking of Michael W. Smith, he's playing a leading role in the movie 90 Minutes in Heaven, and opens this Friday night, theaters all across America. So here's a little trailer, because we want to play this trailer. We want to promote this movie because I believe that many people will come and they will get a glimpse of eternal life, turning their lives to Jesus. I know it's going to be a tremendous tool, outreach tool. I'm going to play the trailer, and then we want to pray concerning this movie, 90 Minutes in Heaven.
I was the father of three children, the husband of a wonderful wife, a man with a great future. On January 18th, 1989, I died. When I woke up, I was in heaven.
The man in the red Ford is deceased. I'd like to pray for him.
He's alive! Get up, Paul!
Heard Don's car was wrecked by an 18-wheeler.
Your husband is very badly injured. We are doing everything we can to save him.
I'm so scared. God, please help us.
It's going to be tough, but Don needs you now.
I fought all I can. I'm ready to die.
You got all these people who care so much for you, and you have no idea how much they love you.
We're going to pray all night for you. We're taking over from here.
I have denied them the blessing of caring. You were right. Amidst all of the suffering, I've learned that heaven is real. You prayed? I'm here.
Well, the power of prayer, 90 Minutes in Heaven, which starts this Friday night. And just encourage everyone to go out, emphasizing the power of prayer, emphasizing eternal life, heaven. So many, many people have gotten their eyes off of heaven, and they've gotten their eyes off of eternal life. So 90 Minutes in Heaven, a true story of life and death. It's going to be an amazing movie starting this Friday night, theaters all across America. And we'll be talking to Michael W. Smith about that, more about that tomorrow. Good to have you listening in here on BPN Radio as we pray, because we know that prayer that prayer is the key. We are the hope. We are the hope of the nation, the church, the people of God that prays. And, you know, I started praying for real. I grew up in an atmosphere of prayer. My dad would get up every morning at 5 o'clock and would pray. And he would pray so loud that the neighbors could hear him pray. But he only had one volume, and that was loud. And I did not enter into a prayer life until 1966, when I was working at a radio station, a CBS affiliate in Wichita Falls, Texas. And many of you have heard my story many times. And just driving to work one morning, lived in a nice home, had a nice car, had a beautiful wife and a 2-year-old son, had a good job. And everything seemed to be going my way, except I felt so empty inside. I knew there was more to life than what I was doing, more to say than what I was saying, and more to see than I was seeing, more people to meet than I was meeting. And I didn't know what to do, except I just cried out, "Lord, I know there's more to life than what I'm living, and I'm so empty inside. What can you do for me?" And I heard the voice in my car say to me, "Son, if you'll give me the first hour of your day, I'll change your life." So the very next morning, I started getting up at 2 o'clock in the morning. I was an engineer at the radio station. Had to be at work at 3:30. So I was getting up at 3, started getting up at 2, because desperate people to know the will of God begin to do desperate things. So I got up at 2 o'clock in the morning, began to give God the first hour of my day. I learned that there are 3 levels of prayer. There's the desire level. You got to say, "God, I desire your will to be done. I'm not willing to go through life, just go through life. I want to live life. For we know that you've come, Jesus, that we might have life and have it more abundantly." And I was not willing to do that. So the desire level is, first of all, then you have to have the discipline level. So I had to discipline myself to get up, set 2 alarm clocks for 2 o'clock in the morning during that season. When the first alarm went off, I always heard this voice, "Oh, no." And the second voice said, "Oh, yes." And I would get up. And I had to discipline myself. First of all, it was just off of tremendous anticipation of what God was going to do and enthusiasm. But then after a while, I began to get tired. And then I had to go into this self-discipline mode of disciplining myself to get up each and every morning. And then the third level of prayer, third stage of prayer, is the delight level. So we go from desire to discipline to delight. And the Bible says, as we delight ourselves in Him, then He will give us the desires of our heart. So I want to stop and pray right now. We can't talk without praying. I'm just going to pray right now that if there's no passion or desire in your life about doing more, maybe all that you have to look forward to is Friday afternoon when you get off work, or maybe some retirement, or maybe a 2 or 3 week vacation, maybe another round of golf, or maybe the playoffs. But, you know, there's not really much going on in your life as far as the will, plan, and purpose of God for you. So I pray for you right now that the Holy Spirit will put a desire in your heart, give you a desire about life, a passion about life, and say, "Lord, Am I doing what I was created to do? Am I doing what I was born to do? Am I making my life count? I'm not like the cat with 9 lives. I only have one. I only have one life to live. I want to live it for you, whatever it is. Whatever it is, that's what I want to do. I want to live for you." Would you just pray right now? Just pray, "Lord, put that desire in my heart. I know there's more. You know, I'm quite empty on the inside, and there's a restlessness inside of me, and I just want to make my life count." Would you pray right now? So, Father, I set myself in agreement with these people, that are praying right now with me here on this Tuesday. The will of God be done in their life. The will, plan, and purpose of God be done in their life. I set myself in agreement with them in Jesus' name. And then after the desire level, there is a call to pray. Everything starts with prayer. And the key to life is prayer. And if you try to work it out on your own, try to figure it out. Figure is a Texas verb. If you try to figure it out on your own, it's not going to work very well, because you only have so much that you can do on your own. The Apostle Paul said there's a natural and there is a supernatural. So you must understand, in the realm of the natural, you can get a degree. You can get several degrees. You can receive an inheritance. You can work on the abilities or giftings that you have. But you can only go so far in the realm of the natural, because there's limitations. But you must understand, in the realm of the supernatural, there are no limits. There are no limitations. And so, as we move into that realm of the supernatural, and how do we move into the realm of the supernatural? We move into the realm of the supernatural through prayer. And so, you say, well, what are we going to pray about? Well, you just pray the way Jesus taught us to pray. He taught his disciples to pray. They said to him, Lord, would you teach us to pray? And he said, when you pray. He did not say, if you pray. He said, when you pray. He said, when you pray, say, my Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive me of my sins as I forgive those who've sinned against me. Give me this daily bread. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. So when I got up and started praying, I prayed the model prayer or the disciples' prayer. Or when I was growing up, we prayed this prayer in school, public schools. We called it the Lord's Prayer. And whatever you call it, it is a prayer that we can practice. So I started using that. And someone said they started doing that. And, you know, they could say it in only a few seconds. And someone said to them, well, say it real slow. So it was just an outline made up of six faith declarations. The Lord's Prayer, Model Prayer, Disciples' Prayer, made up of six faith declarations. Three focus on Him, the Lord, and three focus on us. And it in that model prayer is an outline, a design that we can pray about. But the most important aspect, I believe, of that prayer, there's six faith declarations, but it's the will of God. Jesus said, when you pray, say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And we cannot know the will of God for our lives with our minds, because our mind does not have the capability or the capacity to know the will of God, the plan of God. And so in my life, I designed my own 10-year plan. And even though my father had given me a prophetic word that I was going to be a preacher, I did not want to be a preacher. And I'll never forget how some things stick in our minds. I remember working at the radio station and sitting in the doctor's office, and a minister's wife came in, and the receptionist was asking some questions, and she said to this woman, and what is your husband's occupation? And she said, he is a preacher. He's a pastor. And I remember looking at the reception and the disdain that was on this woman's face way back then. this woman, this pastor's wife, gave the answer, and it was like she was looking down her nose at her. And the thought was, I don't ever want my wife to have to go through that ridicule of being called a preacher's wife or minister's wife. Well, ladies and gentlemen, she has for 49 years. And Mrs. America, Jean Gentry, I don't think she would let it bother her one iota. That was just an attack from the devil to try to talk me out, even before I begin to pray, to try to talk me out of the will, plan, and purpose of God. So the very next morning in 1966, when the Holy Spirit said to me, give me the first hour of your day, I'll change your life. I got up the very next morning and I began to pray. And I've learned over the past 49 years as I've been a prayer, P-R-A-Y-E-R, is one who has a certain time at a certain place. Jesus, rising a great while before day, went out into a solitary place, and there he prayed. And so, certain time, certain place. So I got up at 2 o'clock in the morning. I went into the living room of my home because my wife, Jean, was not very keen on getting up at 2 o'clock in the morning. She didn't have that call on her life. And so that was fine. So I responded to the call, went into the living room, began to pray, and I began to realize there are two major reasons I pray. I pray to know God, and I pray to know what He wants me to do. I pray to know God, and I pray to know what He wants me to do. And as I began to pray in 1966, there was something miraculous that began to happen. Miraculous in my life, I began to know God. And my friend Godfrey Bertel wrote a song years ago in response to message I gave on prayer when we were in England. He wrote this song, I'm going to play it, and it just talks about knowing the Lord. And so I want to know Him. So I pray for two major reasons. I pray to know God. I pray to know what He wants me to do. And so we're gonna call upon the Lord. Here's Godfrey Bertel.
I pray to know You, Lord, and to know what You want me to do. I pray to hear You, Lord, and to know what You'd have me to choose. I pray that something of You will touch the hunger in me and cause a holy ignition. Come set may I blaze. I pray that nothing in me would stop the working of You, causing a real transformation. Come, have Your way. Come, have Your way. Touch the hunger in me and cause a set me ablaze. I pray that nothing in me would stop the working of you, causing a real transformation.
To know what you would have me to do. And that song can be found, as well as a bunch of other prayer songs, on Godfrey Bertle and I's CD entitled A Call to Pray. And you can get that free of charge. You can download it by going to letsprayamerica.com and click on resources, letsprayamerica.com. Click on resources, and you can... that is yours. In fact, all of our resources are free. I don't have anything to sell, and I just want to pray. If you want to give to the to this ministry, if you want to make a donation, you can go to bpnradio.com, bpnradio.com. Go down to the donate button, and you can make a contribution there by clicking on a donate, and you can use your PayPal, credit card, debit card. And if you want to write a check, you can send it to Breakout Prayer Network, P.O. Box 91985, Austin, Texas. P.O. Box 91985, Austin, Texas, 78709. Your gifts are tax deductible. And this broadcast is supported by those that believe in our ministry and believe that... that prayer can change a nation. And so we are on 24 hours a day in about our 10th month now of praying around the clock. So thank you for listening in here on BPN Radio. Dale Gentry here on this Tuesday, and we're praying for the will, plan, and purpose of God to be done in your life. And so today I'm going to pray for you, because I know there are so many people that just says, I don't know what God's purpose, plan is for me. And so I'm going to pray for you. And there's a lot of people say, well, how can we find the pathway? There is a pathway. And I've been sharing on today's broadcast about the pathway is prayer. So in 1966, I get up and I begin to pray. And some incredible things begin to happen in my life. I begin to hear the voice. So you pray to know God, pray that you will know what He wants you to do. So I began to hear the voice of God. And the first voice I heard during my prayer time was this. You know, I was having a lot of stress. I've been diagnosed. I talked a while ago about going to the doctor's office. I've been diagnosed with ulcers, a severe case of ulcers. My diet was quite restricted, and I would double over with pain, and I was on medication. If I didn't take the medication, I would have severe pain. One morning when I got up, I heard the voice say this to me, "Son, if you leave your medication at home, then I'll heal you." So, you know, there's nothing wrong with taking your medication, but I got fearful. First of all, started backing away from the medicine cabinet, and then I heard the voice again say, if you leave your medication home today, I'll heal you. So the Lord was just wanting my faith to grow. So I heard that voice, and I turned around, went out the door. And before I could get backed out of the driveway, I felt the power, the healing power of God go all over me. I knew I was healed. I never had to take any more medication. I was healed from that time on. The next time I got sick, I said, well, I know that I can get well if I leave my medicine at home. And so I left my medicine at home, but I didn't get well. So you got to realize it was just that particular time, because the Lord speaks to us in different ways, different times. We are healed in different ways, in different situations, at different times. So, but it was the voice of the Lord. I responded to the voice of the Lord. Then I saw myself being healed. And then I just said, I'm healed. I'm not going to take my medication. And then I did an act of faith, and I walked out the door, and I was healed. So I began to hear the voice of God. And during that time, I began to hear the voice, and I began to see the voice. John, in Revelation chapter 1, he said, I turned and saw the voice that spoke to me. He didn't say, I turned and heard the voice. He wasn't talking about hearing the voice. He was talking about seeing the voice. And so he saw what he was seeing, what he was hearing. And then he began to say it. Then he began to do it. So the proper progression that I talk about in my book, which is free of charge online by going to letsprayamerica.com and then going to resources, God Assignments, How to Start, How to Finish, is we simply hear the voice, and then we see the voice, then we say what we have seen and heard, and then we begin to do what we have said and seen and heard. So I'm going to pray with you today. And the next time I heard the voice, I heard the voice say to me in June of 1966, son, I want you to preach my gospel. Will you preach my gospel? I heard him say that. And then I said, I will. Then I saw myself preaching the gospel. Then I would tell people, I'm a preacher. And then I did not have an invitation to preach. So I went home, invited myself to preach in my own bedroom. And I began to preach. And soon I started getting invitations. So that went on for several months. And then the next year, I started preaching, by the way, that same month. Then the next year, as I was holding revivals, I would go and preach on weekends. Gene would drive home, and I would get a little cat nap or some sleep with my little 2-year-old son, Rick, in the back seat. Sometimes I'd get home just in time to go to work at 3 o'clock in the morning. Sometimes I'd get home in time just to go to the prayer room at 2 o'clock. And so God was taking me through that season of disciplining, discipling. And so the very next year, the Holy Spirit spoke to Gene and I that it was time to go and preach the gospel and to go into all the world and preach the gospel. So on the strength of one revival, we sold everything we had. And in March of 1967, Gene and I went into full-time ministry. I'd already been in ministry, already been preaching, but we went into full-time ministry. And it's been an exciting journey. And I'm thankful for a godly wife that said, yes, I'll go with you. I'll do it with you. So I've often said there's nothing that two people set themselves in agreement, particularly a husband and a wife, cannot do, as they set themselves in agreement to do the will of God. So I pray for you right now in Jesus' name to know God and to know what he wants you to do concerning your life, concerning your lifestyle, concerning a geographical location, concerning your job, concerning a business, concerning a marriage, concerning an important decision that you need to make. I pray for you right now in Jesus' name. I pray the will of God be done in your life. In Jesus' name. Would you pray with me? Would you pray with me right now? I set myself in agreement with you at this very moment that the will, plan, and purpose of God is going to be done in your life. Would you just anoint your ears right now if you're not driving? Well, even if you're driving down the road, you got one hand there. Just put your hands on your ears and say, Holy Spirit, open my spiritual ears. that I may hear your voice, saying, this is the way, walk in it. Put your hand on your eye, one eye there, and just say, Lord, open my eyes, my spiritual eyes, that I might see what you're doing in me. Put one hand on your heart and just say, Holy Spirit, open my heart that I might receive all that you have for me. I'm ready to receive. I'm ready to do your will. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The will of God and the plan of God and the purpose of God. So here in the quietness of this day, whether you're listening in America, different nations of the world, whether it's early morning, whether it's in the middle of the night, whether it's in the afternoon, whenever it may be, I just pray that the Holy Spirit would just come and minister to you by His power in Jesus' name. And would you just say these words, Lord, your will be done in my life. And just pause for a few moments and let Him speak to you. We are so thankful and grateful that we can know you, Lord, as our Savior and Lord. We're so thankful on this Tuesday as we pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in Jesus' name, that the will of God shall be done. It's very difficult to miss the will of God. It really is. If you're praying the will of God be done in your life, it's very, very difficult to miss it. Now, sometimes we try to work that out in our own minds. Now, here's what the Bible says. The Bible said that a man will make his own plans, but it's the Lord that directs his steps. I'm going to repeat. This is from the book of Proverbs. A man will make his own plans, but it's the Lord that directs his steps. And so it's okay if you want to make some plans, but it's the Lord that directs your steps. And I just want to give an illustration for that. In 1985, Gene and I were leading a church in Dell City, Oklahoma, Oklahoma City suburb. And I was walking down the road one day praying. I love to walk and pray. And I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, you have brought this church as far as you can take it. It's time for you to leave. It's time for you to go. And I said to the Holy Spirit, where am I going? And He said not a word. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, we know in part and prophesy in part. It would be wonderful. It would be wonderful, ladies and gentlemen, if the Holy Spirit would just speak to us and say, this is what you're going to do, and you're going to do it this way, you're going to do it at this time, and this is how it's going to happen. It does not work like that. The steps of a good person, that's what the Bible said, the steps of a good person are ordered by the Lord. So He guides us step by step by step. Why does He do that? So that we can trust in Him. When you were a child, your mom and dad did not say, now, Now, son or daughter, you're going to go to this school this year. Next year, you'll be going to this school. And when you're in the third grade, you're going to be taking these subjects, and you're going to start taking piano lessons. When you're in the fifth grade, then I'm going to... No. We just got up every morning, and we trusted in our father and mother. Both of them lived in our home. If not, we trusted our parent. And we just believed that they were going to take care of us. And we did not have to get up and get the whole picture. We were just content to say, well, I know there's a good plan that my parents have for me, and I'm just going to follow that. And so we would like to know, we would like to have the entire picture, but knowing the will of God does not include all those details that we would absolutely love to have. Just doesn't work. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, after 49 years of preaching the gospel, over 13,000 times I've ministered, and being a prayer leader, a prophetic voice, leading churches for over 20 years, I've come to a few conclusions, and I've definitely come to the conclusion that you cannot know the plan of God as a whole picture. It comes in parts. We know in part, we prophesy in part, we receive in part. So here's what you do. You got to know that the whole lot is cast into the lap. That means that you can just say, well, here's what I want to do. I've got this vision. I've got this dream. I've got these things I would love to do. I'd love to go to this nation. I'd love to enter this business. I'd love to get a degree in this. And it's fine. Isn't it wonderful to be able to dream? So many people have lost their dreams. Their dreamer got crushed, and it never got rebuilt, never got restored. So it's wonderful to dream. So the Bible said in the book of Proverbs, the whole lot is cast into the lap, into your lap. But the disposing thereof, that's the decision of the Lord. The Lord directs our steps, and it's His decision on what is going to happen next, what we're going to do, where we're going to go. We may have some revelation. We may have a prophetic word, and we can receive direction from a prophetic word. But when you receive a prophetic word, you must know it could be a now word. It could be a future word, something God is going to do a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. Could be a confirming word. You say, I already know that. But it could be a new word. The Holy Spirit may say something to you, may speak something to you that is so new, you just say, I don't know how I could possibly do that. So in 1985, leading a church, being the senior pastor, pastoring a church, the Holy Spirit said, you're going to go. You're going to leave. I didn't know. And I kept asking Him, where are we going? When are we going? He didn't say a word. I've learned that God speaks when He wants to speak, and He remains silent when He wants to remain silent. The Holy Spirit is our guide, and He does not guide us according to our thinking. Our thinking. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so it's not a natural thing. It's a supernatural thing. And so we just have to be led by the Spirit of God. The Bible says those people that are the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. And so we have to be led by the Spirit of God. So Gene and I took it upon ourselves to try to work out the will of God. This is where incredible frustration sets in, because we didn't know what to do. We knew we had one part of it, that our time there pastoring the church in the Oklahoma City area in 1985, we knew that that part was finished. We just didn't know the next part. So we tried to determine what we would do next. And we had always loved Phoenix. When I'd gone out to Phoenix, I just love Phoenix, the land of the sun. I love hot weather. I love sunshine. I did not like the storms and tornadoes in the state of Oklahoma. And so we just said, we believe we could go out and birth a church. We could go out and pioneer a church. We could go out and start a church in Phoenix. And I had a friend by the name of Larry Lee. And Larry, at that particular time, Church on the Rock in Rockwall, Texas, was pioneering churches. They were starting churches. So I began to talk to him about possibly helping us pioneer, birth, start a church in Phoenix. So he said that he would pray with us about it, and he invited Gene and I to come and spend a few days with he and his wife in Rockwall on our way to Phoenix to locate a location to start a church. He said, why don't you guys come by and let's pray together. Okay, that is wisdom. You say, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to do it. So it's time to pray. So we went by there, and but on the way from Oklahoma City to the Dallas, Texas area, on the way there, suddenly Gene turned to me and said to me, Dale, we're not going to Phoenix. We're going to move to Rockwall. And I looked at her in dismay, because never had I ever thought about moving to Rockwall. I said, well, I, even though I highly respected my wife, I thought I was the great man of God, and I was the one that should be hearing from God. But my wife said to me, we're not moving to Phoenix. We're moving to Rockwall. I said, well, you know, we've had no invitation to move to Rockwall. And, I don't want to go and serve on a staff, a team. I've always been the lead man, the main man, the lead pastor. I'm not really interested in doing that. And she did not have a rebuttal, but in a few minutes she said to me again, Dale, I heard the Holy Spirit say, we're not going to Phoenix. We're going to Rockwall. So what do? We pray to know God, but we pray to know what he wants us to do. So Gene and I were desperately seeking God. We were trying to work out our own plan, and our own plan was moving to Phoenix and starting a church. But God's plan was to go to Rockwall, because he had some incredible things in mind. So I said, well, I don't feel it's the will of God. I don't bear witness to that. But if it is, then he'll say something to us. We drove up to the church on a Wednesday night. My good friend, Dr. David Shibley, was a part of the team at that time. And he came out of the church before I could. I guess he was waiting for me. And he came out before I could ever get out of the vehicle. And he said to Gene and I, Pastor wants you to come out to his house. He has a word from the Lord for you. So I never went into the church building on Wednesday night. I drove out to his house. We sat around his table, and he said to me, Dale, the Holy Spirit has spoken to me that you're not moving to Phoenix, you're moving to Rockwall. And so Dr. Larry Lee confirmed a word only a few hours later that Gene had received from the Holy Spirit earlier. So if you have a word from God, if you're seeking his guidance and direction, then what you do is you get a word from God, an unmovable, unshakable, undeniable word from God. And it can come through prayer as you pray, but, you know, it may be a circumstance. It may be hearing your pastor's voice preaching. It may be a prophetic word. It may be a revelation. It may be a still small voice. It may be something the Holy Spirit puts in your heart. But when it happens, you must have confirmation in the mouth of two or three witnesses. So I know there's a lot of people that they just get a prophecy, get a revelation, but there's no confirmation. And there's a lot of people that's made wrong choices in life because there's no confirming word. And then there needs to be somebody in your life that even if you have confirmation from other people, but you need to have a couple of people in your life that is seasoned in your life. And, you know, whatever you hear, because there's a fine line between your voice and God's voice, your voice and the devil's voice, your voice and the Holy Spirit's voice. There's a fine line, and you can say, well, I heard from God, I know it's God, but there needs to be people in your life that confirm that. I, even to this day, have two men in my life that have over 100 years of ministry experience that if I have a major word from God concerning a major decision, then they must confirm it. My wife must confirm it. If it involves my children, I never made a move when my children were growing up that affected their lives without a confirmation from them, because it was going to impact them. Sometimes we just make decisions on our own, and sometimes we never even ask our companion, our wife. Sometimes we don't even include our children, even though they may have to go through a different city, a different church, a different school. So they need to be involved in the decision-making process. And so my daughter was still in school. Jean, of course, she'd already confirmed it. And Larry Lee confirmed it. My daughter confirmed it. And we didn't go to Phoenix. We moved to Rockwall, Texas. And from there, Jean and I were launched out all over the world, 30-something nations. We've traveled between the two of us, and we've got to minister in so many, many different places. We heard the voice of God. There was a confirmation. Both of us came into agreement. Husbands and wives should never make a decision until the two of you come into agreement. And if it involves a geographical move or a major move, your children need to have agreement with you. And I'm talking about your children that are at home. So I pray right now the will of God be done in your life. I pray thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we'll be back tomorrow at this same time or any time as we pray the will of God be done in your life and as we pray for revival in America, another spiritual awakening.
You've been listening to BPN Radio with Dale Gentry, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Tell your friends around the world to listen to this hourly broadcast as we pray for a revival in America, another spiritual awakening. Remember, as America goes, so goes the world. BPN Radio is sponsored by you, their loyal listeners and prayer partners. To donate to this network, click on the donate button on our website at www.bpnradio.com. Remember that your contributions are tax deductible. Tune in at the same time or any time, day or night, to pray with Dale Gentry.